hurdles of infidelity and communication in relationships. His personal narrative of resilience, including finding his path after a tumultuous marriage and near-fatal despair, offers hope and guidance for those that are struggling to find harmony in their own partnerships. He gives us a very honest look at what he went through before he became the man he is today. I look forward to you joining us.
Suicide Zen Forgiveness, the pod that shares the stories of those affected by suicide. Lost a loved one? Attempted it yourself? Come listen in with your host, Elaine Lindsay. Please note, the Suicide Zen Forgiveness podcast is for education only. Some of this subject matter could be triggering. For those of you that are either grieving or having mental health problems, please call your local suicide hotline or mental health office if you need immediate help. And now, here's your host, Elaine Lindsay.
Hello, it's wonderful to be back. Yeah, new tongue, just washed it, can't do a damn thing with it. That sometimes happens. I wanted to introduce you to my guest, who I'm sure now is maybe second-guessing whether he should be my guest on the show. I want to introduce you to Willie Neely. Thank you so much for joining me, Willie.
Such an honor and a pleasure, and I thank you for reaching out to me. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm glad I'm here.
I'm very glad you're here as well. I want to start by saying you're a relationship coach. You work, something that fascinates me is working, understanding the languages of love, which are, I think, so important. I think it's so hopeful for people to be able to hear your story. And that's part of why I wanted to have you on today, because it shows just how far one can rise when you pay attention to the signs, when you take what you're given and work with it. And I think we're all better off because you are. That's the last I'm going to say for a while, because I'd like you to go ahead, tell us your story, and you can start from whatever point seems most appropriate to you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And again, like I said, it's an honor of mine to be here with you. And I thank you and I appreciate that. When I began my journey as a relationship and marriage coach, as well as a life coach, what drove me to it is my life experiences. My mom was a single mom, so I really had no sense of a dad. I had stepfathers, but I didn't really know my biological father. So that was already a missing piece when I grew up. So I decided to join the military for guidance, of course, and also to keep me out of trouble. So when I did that, I knew what it was like to actually be on a mission. And that's when I found myself, after I got out of the military, that I was on a mission indeed after the challenges of suicide that I faced. After I got out of the military, I already had a failed marriage. And then I decided that I wanted to be with someone. I wanted to have a connection with someone. I wanted to have the marriage of my dream. When I first got married, my ex-wife and I, we didn't form an agreement. We didn't know what each other's expectations were. We didn't even know what the five love languages were. So we had no clue. And we just went into this thing blind. I'm like most people. And so as that relationship ended and I decided that I wanted to find exactly what it is that I wanted, and I knew what that was. I knew what my expectation was now because I found out what I didn't want. So I decided to date, and I ran into this young lady who was absolutely beautiful to me at that time, as cute as a button, and I was living in Detroit, Michigan, and I was deciding to move to Las Vegas to where she was, all right? And on that move, I prayed before I left. And I said, God, I said, you can take everything away from me. Everything. All I ask for is a woman that can be a team player, someone that can support me as I support them, someone that can believe in me as I believe in them, and we can work together to build something great. So that's what I prayed for. And I was like, all right, let's go. I was ready to go. I hit the road, got to Vegas. And like I said, I had met that young lady prior to, but this was the worst relationship I ever been into in my entire life. This relationship took me down so many roads that I did not want to go down or travel down. I wasn't even ready for it. And in that relationship, there was a lot of psychological abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse, very close to physical abuse. And this is not me claiming victim, but this is the way that relationship was. I had never dealt with a narcissist before in my life. This is my first time. And I'll never forget one night, and this was many nights that's just like this night, but this one was a little different. So one particular night, she didn't come home. I'm calling her. She's not answering her phone. I called the hospitals. I called the police. I was calling everyone because she wasn't responding and I didn't know where she was. I even got in my truck and drove around Vegas looking for her. So then I came back home and I first grabbed my grandfather's revolver and I sat in my truck and I put the gun to my head. And I couldn't find myself to pull the trigger. So then after that, I go to CVS and I get sleeping pills. I look for the strongest sleeping pills that I can find. And I go back to our condo. I pull them out on the bed. And I sat on the bed and I start taking them one by one. And then I called her and left her a voicemail message. And I told her, I said, when you come back to our condo, I'll be dead. I said, you're not going to have to worry about me anymore. I'm going to be out of your life. And within 15 minutes, I hear a knock at the door. I go to the door, and it was the police, along with an ambulance. And they asked me, do you have a firearm? And I said, yes. So I took them to where the gun was, and I gave it to them. And then they seen the pills on the pill bottle on the bed. And they asked me, did you take these? They can come and get in the ambulance with us right now. So they put me in an ambulance, and right away they gave me some chalky stuff to drink, and I drank it, and we go off to the hospital. Now, during this time, whatever they gave me was supposed to cause me to throw up so I can throw up the pills. I never did. Then when they got me into the hospital, and they had me in this room, And now as I think about it, it just really seems like a movie. If you can just imagine being in a room by the only things in there is the bed, nothing else, no lights, no windows, anything. So I'm in this room, I'm in the bed. The doctor came in and he said, we don't understand this. Any traces of those pills in your system? And in that moment, before he even came, and it was hours prior to him coming in there, I never fell asleep. And when he told me that, I started crying because I realized in that moment that there was a reason and a purpose for my life, because now my life has been saved. My life has been saved. In that moment, I didn't know what it was for, what my actual purpose was, but I did know that God saved my life. And I knew that there had to be some type of meaning behind that. And as I cried and I asked for forgiveness, I also in that moment realized how selfish the act that I attempted was. I started to think about my mom, and I started to think about my brother and my sisters and my kids, because I had kids at the time, and how my death would have impacted them, how it would have affected them, and how selfish I was being because I was taking myself from them. I was taking myself from them. and knowing that I love them. And by me loving them, who am I to have the right to take myself from them? Not only did in that moment I almost lost my life, but in that relationship, I lost everything. Like my mom said, used to say, not having a pot to piss in and the window to throw it out of, that's where I was. I lost everything. I had a house in Michigan. I lost that. The condo that her and I had together, I lost that. My vehicles, I had two vehicles, lost that. And I had nothing when that relationship ended. But the only great thing, my saving grace, was my wife today, I met her during the midst of all of that. She was that light for me in the darkness. And I knew what that light felt like in that moment. And that's why I decided now to be people's light. Because I know how it feels to have someone to be your light. Because she, when she came into my life, she went to her dad. She said, hey, this guy Willie, I know, child support is eating him up. He don't have a place to stay. He's really working hard to turn his life around, to change things. And he just needs some help. Can he stay with us? Just until he get on his feet. Her dad didn't even know me. He said yes. Didn't know me. He said yes. My wife, in that moment, we didn't even have a child together. We weren't even really together. She wasn't my wife yet. We were dating. And she was the only woman that celebrated me on Father's Day. We didn't even have any kids together. So after that, I told myself and I told her, as long as I have a breath to breathe, I'm going to do everything in my power to make you the happiest woman in the world. Anything I have to do, that's what I'm going to do. And that was my mission. Like I said, being in the military, I knew what it was like to have a mission. I made my wife my mission. And when I did that, I just restructured myself 100%. I started reading and listening to Mr. Jim Rohn and listening to a lot of different motivational speakers and changing my thought process, my mindset, in my actions and everything that I do. And I had wrote a book called Glue, and it's abbreviated G.L.U.E. And Glue stands for God, Life, Universe, and Energy. And that's how I started to live my life. Because God is the creator of all things. He provided us with the life that we live. And then the universe determines the outcome of our lives. And the energy you put into the universe determines the direction. So if you put positive energy out there, that's what you'll receive back. So once I started living my life that way and started doing that way, doing things that way, and interacting with people with that in mind, my whole life changed. My whole life, it changed. And then that's when I got certified as a coach, as a life coach, and started learning about relationships. And because that's the one thing that I knew in that moment at that time, that was one great. My marriage is absolutely amazing. And my wife and I, we have a phenomenal relationship. And I want everyone to be able to experience that and take care of that, get rid of that stigma of marriage being, for one, a bad thing, and that there's a time limit on it. So many people get married to wait to get divorced. So that's another mission of mine, is to help couples realize you can be happy. You can have everything that you dream of in a marriage. It's going to require work, but guess what? Get there. So that's why I'm a relationship coach, because that's my goal, is to help as many couples as I can to achieve exactly what it is that they want out of a marriage, out of a relationship.
First of all, wow. Okay, that's incredible. But I have a couple of questions. You obviously had God in your life.
Yes.
From perhaps a very early age. Did you go to church with your mom?
Yes, actually, my family, there's a story to it, because I have on one side of my family that are Christians, okay, non-denominational, and then on the other side, I have parts of my families that are Jehovah's Witness. I was able to learn from both sides of those both of those religions, and I used to go to church with my mom and my aunt and my grandmother. Excuse me. When I first moved out here to Vegas, we were going to a non-denominational church. But the job that I had at the time had me working on Sundays. So it completely took church off the table. Oh. And on top of that, I had to work all the way through the week on other days that church was in session. Which for me was actually a blessing in disguise. Because it caused me to develop a more intimate relationship with God. It caused me to have those one-on-one conversations and to have that guidance that I needed and not rely on someone else to get a message to me. When all I learned, what I learned is I just have to open up and listen and pray.
Thank you for sharing that. My second question has to do with, humans by nature are comparative. Okay, we don't know tall unless we know short. We don't know green unless we know other colors. Like all of those things, we are comparative. It's how we find our place in the world. Do you think in having to go through this horrific marriage that you went through and all of those things, was that in a way God preparing you for the work that you were going to do later?
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. And that's what I tell people is that every aspect of my life and everything that's happened in my life, it didn't happen to me, it happened for me. It happened so that I can be a blessing to someone else. That is the reason that I went through all of those things, and also the reason why my life was saved, so that I can be a blessing. I have so many clients, when I deal with them and they're dealing with challenges, they'll say, "You won't understand." And I tell them, I said, try me. What is it that you went through or that you're suffering through? It's all verbal abuse. Oh, yeah, I've experienced that. I've dealt with that. I have thought about in moments I was going to kill myself. Yeah, been there, done that. And I know where I was mentally in that moment, in that time, that caused me to want to go that route. So I do understand. And I've had husbands, man, she cheated on me, and you just don't know. I have to stop them. I said, hold up. Remember when I told you my story? This woman that I was madly in love with was cheating on me. I let you know that she was cheating on me. And I found this out later when she was doing her disappearing acts. God prepared me for all of those conversations and to be able to help those clients, because now I can relate. I can understand what they're going through and what they've been through. And they know the compassion that I have for them isn't fake, isn't phony. I'm not just telling them, oh yeah, I get it. No, I really get it. I really understand. I really know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Your empathy is real.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, that is so important. It's funny because, not funny ha, but funny odd. I have said for years that anyone that serves other people as a counselor, as a nurse, as a doctor, as a lawyer, you have to walk a mile in the shoes of those you serve in order to understand and have empathy for what they go through. And very often, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really sad. And that makes you quite a rare gem.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, because marriage is not or should not be disposable. Your family's not disposable. Even when, for whatever reason, they choose to remove themselves from the family, they are still your family.
Mm-hmm.
You just maybe don't have contact. And in understanding and seeing the toughest bits, only then can we be gentler with others and not judge, because we don't have a right to judge. We all do it, mind you. I don't think I go 5 minutes without going, "Ah, I didn't mean to do that." But we keep trying, and I think that's really important. But I think the more we urge those around us, and by our own actions, show others by leading what service truly is, it's the only way we're really going to change things. And I grew up in a family, there were only two kids. We were 5 years apart. My mother and father came to this country. I'm in Canada now. My parents came to this country because there was no equality in marriage in Britain, in Scotland.
Wow.
There was a hierarchy, the man was, and they believed they were equals in this partnership. And not only did they come here, but they brought my grandmother and my aunt, giving up all the material possessions that we could have brought with us to bring the family, because that's what was important. And I think I am incredibly lucky to have lived that and seen what could be. And yet, been through a couple of marriages, and in order to learn, I saw my father, who wrote poetry for my mother and got her gifts, and every day was to be celebrated by them together. And God help the poor soul that I married, because he didn't get the playbook. He wasn't my father. And what a shame for him, because that meant not good enough. I understand that I'm the one that was lacking by judging him and by expecting and not ever saying you should do this, just expecting. We expect things to just magically happen.
Yeah.
And here we are, all these years later, going on 44 years of marriage, another marriage. And finally got smart, learned a few lessons, and learned that there must be give and take. But honesty, he's very much like my father.
Yeah. I was going to say, he must be. It's funny you say that, because that's something that every single couple I deal with, first thing I ask them, prior to getting married, did you guys form an agreement? And every last one has said no. I said, okay, did you guys talk about expectations? What is your expectations of a successful marriage? What does a successful marriage look like to you? And again, each one of them is no. And I understand you have love. And believe me, I'm a huge component of love. I love. But your relationship or your marriage can't be successful on love alone. I'm like, if you haven't formed any type of agreement, you haven't talked about expectations, how have you chose to love your spouse? How have you chose to show up in your marriage? And those are the places we have to start at, because even myself with my wife now, even though everything is amazing, we're still, after over 15 years of a successful marriage, we're still learning each other. We're still growing. We're still finding ways to communicate better. So if you don't form that agreement, if you don't talk about those expectations, you're already going in blind. You're already going in behind the eight ball, because you're going to have to try to figure those things out with so many different mistakes as you go, and that can be very detrimental to your marriage. So that's just like you. My daughter is going to be like you.
Yeah.
Because she sees how our marriage is. She sees how our household is. She don't hear any arguing. She don't hear any cussing. She don't hear any disrespect. She doesn't hear any of those things. All she sees is love and compassion and honesty and support. That's what she sees. As she grow up, of course, once she starts the dating, she's only 14. I hope she'll wait until she's about 35. But, but when that moment comes, she's going to compare to what she knows.
Absolutely.
And that's what I tell men, especially in their marriages. I tell them, I say, understand, regardless to if you want to believe it or not, our children, girl or boy, they watch us. Yeah. They watch us. And sometimes they mimic us. I'm like, yeah. They see how you're communicating with their mother. They see how you're treating their mother. And for the boys, guess what? You're teaching them something. And that can either be good or bad. And for your girls, you're also teaching them something that can be good or bad. I had one person ask me, because I didn't mention one of the relationships I was in. I was in two relationships before my wife, and one was a young lady. She was blonde, blue eyes, absolutely beautiful. I thought she was like Barbie. She looked like Barbie to me. But she was very insecure, very insecure. The most insecure person I ever met in my entire life. And I wasn't used to someone being so beautiful and so insecure. But all of her relationships, the men that she dated, they beat on her because she was so beautiful. So when we dated, she expected that from me. Because that's what love looked like for her. Because that's what these men instilled in her, that I'm beating you because I love you. She wanted to get the same out of me. Somebody asked me, they said, in that relationship, do you think that you could have made it work? I was like, this was a long time ago. I said, but if I know what I know now, I said, absolutely. I know that I could, because I would have been able to recognize what that problem was and what that challenge was. And we speak to that challenge and show her something different. And let her know, I don't need to put my hands on you in order for you to know that I love you. So I told him, I said, I absolutely could have done better in that relationship. I said, because now the things that I know now and the studying that I've done now has prepared me for something like that. Thank God I don't have nothing like that whatsoever that I have to deal with. But I have clients, though, that are in those situations, in those scenarios.
Absolutely. And Maya Angelou said, when we know better, we do better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's just funny, as we were talking about that, I can remember thinking, oh my heavens, my sister and I talked about her marriage ended. Same reason, because he was not our father. My father is 91 years old. Sadly, he has dementia. He was not diagnosed till he was 90. So we are very blessed.
Yeah.
But my mother died in 2012. Oh, and up until 6 months ago, my father went to the cemetery every week, go to the florist first, get a red rose, go to the cemetery. And when he stopped driving at the end of 2020, I drove him every week because that's what you do. Mm-hmm. That devotion, and that's what we had always seen. And my sister and I at one point laughed over, good Lord, that makes it hard for anyone to have to live up to my father.
It just came to mind when you were talking about that is I'm going to write a book. And that book is going to be called, The Father's Playbook. And I just thought about that now. So I'm going to create that. I think that would be something. So when my daughter, she does get older, say, here's daddy's playbook. And with this playbook, the expectations, everything is outlined.
You can enlighten.
Exactly. Exactly. So it can be like, hey, you know what? Can you follow these guidelines? If you can't, it's okay. It's good. No problem. Yep. Next.
Yeah. I was going to say hit the road.
Yep.
I was wondering why I kept thinking, I've got to finish that story. We have to keep talking about my father. And I kept thinking, why? But I went with it. And there you go.
Exactly.
Okay. I want a signed copy.
Okay, definitely. Definitely. Because I'm probably going to ask you for some insights.
Absolutely. It's and my husband and I now, for years, we've talked about that my expectations are insanely high because of my dad. Mm-hmm. I will say my ex-husband does not have a good memory. However, he still remembers my birthday. And that's 36 years later. What am I saying? 47 years later.
Oh, man.
Made a bit of an impression, I would say.
I think so.
But it's interesting because we do tend to live what we know, and that is our comfort zone, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And one thing to speak to, when you said how selfish it was that you thought of suicide, I do understand that feeling. What we've found over time, suicide is a very permanent solution to a very temporary pain. But when you are deep inside that pain, there's nothing else. You cannot see outside it. And a very good friend years ago told me, you can't read the label from inside the jar. And truly, it is being inside that jar.
Mm-hmm.
And very often, when you talk to people who have not gone on, they have not been successful in an attempt, they will tell you they were trying to save those around them from them. It was never intentionally selfish. When you get to the point that you understand that you are leaving devastation behind you, that's a whole different area where you have to deal with those guilt feelings and the problems with that. But the reason I do this podcast, and this is why I wanted to bring this up, because when I lost my friend Andrea at 16, that in the end, being one left behind, is one of the only reasons I'm still here. Because there were many times I stood at the precipice, a few times fell over, but was brought back. And it was always remembering how I felt, how it made me feel once she was gone, and knowing I didn't have the right to do that. But it is such a dark place to come back from. It can be very hard. And I can't, in all good conscience, hold that against anyone. Because pain is subjective, and when it overpowers you, not all of us are strong enough to get past it.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that, because that's huge. Because that weight, becomes so heavy. And when you have something that fell upon you that literally feels like a ton of bricks, and you can't find it within yourself to have the power to stand up or to lift those bricks off your back, you want to give up. You want to just lay there. You just want to say, okay, I'm done. And it's just so true. You're saying that you feel that there's no other option. There's no other way. This is the only way. This is the only choice I have. This is the only option I have. But it's not. I had my neighbor just day before yesterday. He was going through some things. And I'm trying to wash my car. He was interrupting me. I was trying to wash the car. But man, I'm going to do it. I'm like, you're going to do what? I can't do this. My wife called the police on me. Now I have a restraining order. Why did she do that? They don't want me here. They don't need me here. I'm checking out. I'm going to take my own life. And I spoke to him. I said, do you really believe that's the only option you have? She called the police. And I said, I understand that. I said, but you taking your own life, what impact do you think that's going to have on your daughters? How do you think it's going to affect you? How do you think it's going to impact them? How do you think they are going to respond? Because, well, yeah, I don't know. I said, again, if you choose to take yourself away from them, out of their life, is that fair to them? And he said, no. I said, and also, being a survivor of suicide or attempted suicide, I came to the realization of it being selfish because it was all about me. I made it all about me. And I said, do you think that would be a selfish act on your part if you was to go through with it? Yeah, you're right. That would be pretty selfish. And I said, man, there is no other person that can be you. I'm like, you are the only you that's here on this earth, in this world. The only one. There is no other. You are the only one. There is no other you. And he was like, yeah, you're right. I am me. Absolutely. There's no carbon copy. There's nothing. Once you are gone, that's it. There is no more you. You are the only one here that can do what you do and what you bring to your family, to your life, to their lives. There's no other, only you. So why are you going to deprive the world, your family, of you? Don't they deserve that? Don't you show up for them? Don't you provide for them? Yeah, I give them money and I do this. Exactly. You willing to take that away from them? And thank God he didn't do it. And him and his wife are back working things out and things is good. But that's all people need sometimes, is just to talk to someone.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
And I haven't formed this into an actual specific, if you will. But I learned that if I just would wait and go to sleep even for 20 minutes, there is this, I don't know, it's like 15 seconds. When you first wake up, there's nothing. It's a clean slate. You don't remember the argument you had just before you went to sleep. You don't remember the thoughts in your head. You don't remember the good, the bad, the indifferent. You have a clean slate. And you can have that clean slate every day. But within those 15 seconds, you choose life, even if it's for that day. Mm-hmm. So you can make a fresh start, whatever that is to you. Incremental, tiny little improvements go a long way. But the important thing for me, and what I would do as I would get through yet another crisis, was be grateful that I had that choice, that I had that extra day.
That is and key.
Here we are, 68 years later. Still here. With so much more gratitude than ever before. And really thrilled to be able to talk to people like you, to be able to share your stories, to be able to offer our audience some hope. And even if that hope is go take a nap, start fresh, and then get up and go next door, talk to your neighbor, mm-hmm. call a friend, call a hotline. Don't make the decision alone. We humans are not meant to be alone. We started off in tribes. That's because no human is an island. And when we isolate, we get all the crazy thoughts in our head. And that's not ever where you want to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you saying gratitude, something that I always share with my clients too is something that I do, and I try to be completely transparent, and I let them know what works for me. And I tell them, I said, I'm not saying that this is going to absolutely work for you. I'm just going to tell you what works for me, and if it works for you, great. If not, we'll still navigate some things to try to find something that will work for you. I said, but one of the greatest things that I had learned to do was to have the attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
When I wake up in the morning. Every morning I wake up, I give thanks to God for my wife. I give thanks for our beautiful house. I give thanks for our vehicles. I give thanks for life. I give thanks for everything. And I'm so thankful and grateful for everything that I have. And I always ask them, if you wake up searching for the positive and searching for the good and the great and the beautiful things that's in your life, then really how big is those problems going to be? How big is those other situations going to be? Because if you make your good outweigh your bad, guess what? That bad ain't going to seem that bad anymore, right? I said, so wake up with an attitude of gratitude. Find things that you can be thankful for. Because the one thing, I don't like to highlight anybody's tragedy or issues or challenges, but no matter what any of us go through, there's somebody going through something 20 times worse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All the time. I'm like, understand where you are and be thankful for that. And you treat every situation as a learning moment, a lesson. What can you learn from that? If you have that type of thought process, that type of mindset, what are the chances of you making the same mistake? If you look at it as something that you can learn from, that's it.
My favorite movie I saw when I was, I think, 5, it was called Pollyanna. is an old movie, and she played the glad game. And until things got really bad, I played the glad game. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of that victim state, I went back to playing the glad game. Because I learned and fully understand now that what you focus on is what you'll find. If you look to God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, and you look for confirmation, whether it's good or bad, you will find it. Okay? It just makes sense to me. Then look for the good. Okay? Look for the good. Because that increases. Mm-hmm. And there is so much around us. And the other thing is this. The greatest gift you can give yourself is to be kind to someone else. If you just smile at everybody you walk by the end of the day, you're 10 feet off the ground and you might have made somebody's day. That's blow your mind incredible.
And
and these little nuggets of joy, they're everywhere. So start looking for them.
I do. And it's funny you say that because my daughter, when we go out and we go to a store and I'll speak to someone, hi, how you doing? And she's, Daddy, do you know them? I'm like, no.
Not yet.
Yeah, exactly. No, not yet. It's just, oh. And then somebody will see me and be like, oh, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. How are you? Or I see somebody at another store and be like, oh, so how's your daughter doing? And she's like, how do you know about their daughter, Dad? I was like, because I spoke to them. They spoke back. And we just had a little conversation. And I told her, I said, just like you said, those things make someone else's day. You never know what somebody else is going through.
Yeah.
If I see someone, and especially if they have on something loud and bright, I'm like, oh, my God, that looks absolutely amazing. That looks beautiful on you. Really? Yeah. Because you never know. Some people, when they wear something loud, they can wear it because they just want to wear something loud, or they can be crying for attention. They want somebody to see them.
And just allowing someone to be seen or heard for just a couple of minutes. Okay, what a gift you are giving to them. But mm-hmm. Oh my God, you will feel so good. Those are the gifts you can give yourself over and over again, and it just benefits everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%, 100%. I love it because it's always great for me when I'm speaking to someone like you that on that same page, reading the same book. And that's what I always tell my clients is that being seen and being heard, those are two of the biggest challenges in a lot of people's relationships.
Yeah.
That's huge for someone to be seen and heard. I said, if you accomplish those two things in your marriage or your relationships, guess what? You're on the right track. You're on the right track. And things will start to change. And that's what it's all about. And even in friendships, in businesses, everything, to be seen and to be heard. There's so many employees out there right now that feel that way. So it just goes all across the board. If you're able to accomplish those things, the strength that you will create for your relationships will be unmeasurable.
Absolutely. And wow, that is a perfect wrap-up for this, I'll say this installment, because I would love to have you back, Willie.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we should talk again, too.
I do, too. I do, too. And I thank you for inviting me.
And thank you, John Emery, for connecting us.
Because
John is a wonderful human being. And someone I just a few months ago did not yet know. And now we've been together in real life down in Florida. And yeah.
John is awesome.
It is.
He is so awesome. Yeah, oh, I told him that.
He is lovely. And his kids are lovely too.
See, you got one up on me. I haven't met the kids yet.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool that I got to meet the kids as well. So I was quite happy.
That's awesome. They're really awesome, really nice kids. I went out there looking at their dad.
Well, this is it. This is it. How could they not be?
Right.
He's a wonderful guy. I will make sure that you have all the information in the transcript below this podcast. You'll be able to get all the information you need about Willie and how to contact him and get all his socials and all the deets that you need. I thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you again for having me. It means the world.
Perfect. And our audience knows I absolutely am thrilled each and every time we get to meet a new and amazing guest. So I say to you, as per usual, make the most of your today, every day, and we're going to see you next time.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Truul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Lisa Sugarman, Boston-based author, columnist, and crisis counselor with the Trevor Project, America's largest suicide and crisis support network for at-risk LGBTQ+ youth, storyteller with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, survivor of suicide loss, and mental health advocate. Lisa's purpose aligns with Elaine's as Lisa shares content and sparks conversations to help end the stigma of suicide and connect people with the support and hope they deserve. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to szf42.com. And for our American listeners, that's szf42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.